Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman.
Wall Street owns Hillary Clinton. Wall Street, remember.
Economists have said she has the toughest plan to regulate Wall Street.
Hillary Clinton can bash Wall Street constantly, yet raise enormous amounts of money from the industry. How does that work?
She will veto any legislation to roll back any of the financial reforms we put in after the last crash.
So I'm personally, as a Wall Street guy, quite comfortable with her approach toward Wall Street regulation.
Hillary Clinton made history this week when she became the country's first woman nominee for president for a major party. But she's going to have to fight to win the hearts, or at least the votes, of Bernie Sanders supporters and to defeat Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump if she wants to break the ultimate glass ceiling and become president. There is one race, though, that she is definitely winning, and that is campaign donations. And it is Wall Street that is her biggest contributor, especially compared to Trump. So, can Clinton manage to keep receiving Wall Street support and at the same time make good on her promise to rein in the big banks? Well, joining me are two reporters who are at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, Sheila Kohatkar with The New Yorker and Josh Green of Bloomberg Businessweek. And Josh, when you consider how much money the securities industry has given Clinton and the super PACs that support her, is she Wall Street's candidate?
I think she is from the standpoint of being the preferred recipient of their largesse, but I don't think that really reflects their fondness for Clinton so much as it does a fear of a President Donald Trump and what that would mean for Wall Street and banks.
Sheila, does that pose a problem for Clinton because she needs the Wall Street money to run against Trump and she's getting it, but she doesn't necessarily want to look like she's too connected to it?
Well, she's walking a very fine line on this and many other issues, I would say. I mean, it used to be that the Republican Party could be relied on to be the friendlier party to the business world and to finance in particular. They could be reliably counted on to offer up free trade, tax cuts for the rich, loosening regulations. And the alignment that we traditionally saw between wealthy donors from the financial sector and the corporate world and candidates like Mitt Romney, all of that has been kind of turned on its head because of Trump and the fact that he has shown himself to be so unpredictable. He is not following the typical script.
But Josh, doesn't this make it uncomfortable for liberals, especially those who supported Bernie Sanders, to turn around and vote for Clinton?
I think it does. I think liberal discomfort with Clinton, though, stems more from the fact that Wall Street and the financial community played such an important role in her husband's administration. It was Bill Clinton and Robert Rubin who helped to regulate Wall Street and remove the Glass-Steagall Act, which had separated commercial banking from investment banking, which, you know, helped lead to some of the problems we saw in the financial crisis. So, yes, there's not a lot of fondness for Clinton among kind of Bernie Sanders lefties. But on the other hand, if you look at the way in which the Democratic Party has trended, which has really been enshrined in the Democratic Party platform that was finalized this week, it is much more hostile to Wall Street than Bill Clinton's Democratic Party or even Barack Obama's party when he was elected 8 years ago.
So does that mean that Wall Street should be worried when they have both parties with this very anti-Wall Street message?
I think they should. I argue in Business Week this week that Wall Street has made a series of terrible strategic blunders over the last 8 years. What happened was they supported Barack Obama over John McCain in 2008, but then after the Dodd-Frank financial reforms were passed in 2010, sort of threw a fit and shifted a lot of their support to Republicans, and which has turned out now to be a pretty bad strategy. I mean, really, they don't have a home. The Democratic Party is moving to the left. The Republican Party is falling apart. And if you're a Wall Street bank, you don't really have a good option in this election.
There was this pivotal moment after the financial crisis when all of the sort of financial figures who had been so pro-Obama, I would include a lot of prominent hedge funds, sort of political donors in this group, they suddenly became very insulted and upset about some of the rhetoric. They heard from Obama, you know, his comments about how they were fat cat bankers, but it really betrayed a lack of understanding of what was going on in the real world and the real economy, because a lot of people were really suffering and they were acting extremely thin-skinned about criticism. And at some point, yes, they completely turned on the Democrats and put all of their assets into sort of one basket, which is not a very smart risk strategy. And they went hard for Romney. And of course, the result is that they've had a series of candidates who put forth all these ideas that people actually don't really like. So now they have put themselves in the situation where they have this unpredictable figure, Trump, running the party, and, you know, they have a really awkward choice to make.
Well, and I think there's an irony there, too. Sheila's absolutely right that Wall Street CEOs and leaders essentially turned on Obama and got very angry. And there was a famous scene back in 2009 where a lot of these leaders came to the White House, and Obama sat them down and essentially said, listen, guys, I am the only thing standing between you and the people with the pitchforks. You need to stop complaining about your bonuses and Wall Street regulation and kind of get into line. And I think a lot of the more self-aware Wall Street folks recognize now in hindsight that Obama really did cut them a pretty good deal, and that now the leading Democratic figures, people like Bernie Sanders, people like Elizabeth Warren, are really out there egging on the pitchforks rather than trying to shield Wall Street bankers. So they've really wound up in a bad situation. But I would argue it stems from their own doing.
But do we think that there will be anti-Wall Street legislation passed, whoever wins, when it really gets down to the business of passing legislation and making things happen?
Well, obviously, what we're seeing now is the result of this sort of surge of populist anger on both sides. So Bernie Sanders and his incredible strength in the campaign has really pushed Hillary Clinton much farther to the left and into a much more sort of anti-Wall Street, pro-regulation stance than she might have been before. And she was seen as sort of a real centrist before. But of course, the fact is that after the election is over, she will then have a Congress that may or may not be willing to cooperate with her on these issues if she becomes president. And it's hard to imagine some of these things, they sound really extreme right now, actually happening. I mean, they'll be watered down, which is what always happens.
Yeah, I think the Republican House is always going to be an obstacle to financial reform, because the kind of anti-Wall Street populism you see reflected in Donald Trump has not quite swept through the Republican caucus. But if there is another financial crisis or some kind of a bank failure, I think then you would have the conditions where both parties could get behind some form of further financial reform.
Josh, Sheila, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Josh Green is a national correspondent for Bloomberg Businessweek, and Sheila Kolhatkar is a staff writer at The New Yorker. And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.